welcome. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. For those of you who have been listening into the live stream just previously, you might have heard a few cuss words. Let's hope you're over 18 and can deal with it like adults. And my very special guest is the wonderful, fantastic, and various other nice adjectives, man, Michael Tellinger from slavespecies.com. Michael, welcome to the program.
Hey, Vinny. Nice to be talking to you again.
Yeah, it's one of those days. It's one of those days.
Yeah, tell me about it. I've been having Skype problems all day long. My friends in Germany suggested that they're messing with it. Somebody is messing with it, but so far, so good.
I love that. It's quite funny being a conspiracy theorist because what did I do? I sent a message to a potential guest today, except I sent it to the wrong Skype person, and so I removed the message from that from the wrong Skype person, and then they're like, "Oh my God, video, something happening to you." It's funny, man. When you got your head buried in conspiracy, you see a conspiracy everywhere. You know, it's just like, dude, I wasn't meant to send you that message, bro. Yeah, it's classic. You know, your mind always goes to dark places, and everybody wonders why I choose to laugh all the time. You know.
Well, I've just been having this discussion about, you know, delving on the dark and the negative with a friend of mine yesterday, and having returned from our 10 week epic tour of the USA and also Germany. It was just absolutely amazing. To come back and be filled with such positive feedback and meeting with incredible people, like-minded people all over the United States and also in Germany, where I spoke to 1,000 people in a town called Heidenheim. And it's just amazing to see the global awakening and the pace at which it's happening. It's absolutely spectacular. And then walking into somebody that is delving into the past and still harping on the negative without seeing the bright light at the end of the tunnel, which is something we need to overcome. So that's something I'd like to talk to you about today.
Proceed.
Well, just really, you know, we've got to stop. We all know what the problems are. If for those people that don't know what the problems are, there's enough literature out there, enough books, magazines, websites. My goodness, you'll never ever reach an end. You can read about the conspiracies and the harsh doings and the wrongdoings for the rest of your life and die reading that kind of stuff. But what we need to start doing rapidly and with light and song in our hearts is talk about the bright and wonderful future that we have ahead of us if we just start projecting that reality for ourselves.
Is there like a bridge here, though? Because I've just always been thinking about this, and I've had arguments with people about it, about how far does positive thinking go before actually taking positive action has to take effect before anything happens?
Yeah. Well, the important thing is that you've got to have the thought. You've got to have the intent and the thought. And if you start doing things towards it, it strengthens the whole energy field, and you'll start seeing signs and messages and things happening in your life that cannot be explained in any other way other than you are now projecting your own reality. And it's amazing how I've started to recognize that, especially with my partner Louise. She's very, very strong into this way of thinking, and she's a real energy worker. And it's just amazing how we've started manifesting things that we, for example, talk about something tonight, and tomorrow morning we wake up and bang, it's landed on our doorstep, or it's people arrive at the Ubuntu Village center that we have here in our little one-horse town in South Africa. And and it just happens more and more frequently. The more you immerse yourself in that kind of thinking and just projecting your positive vision and outcome on where we should be moving and where you would like to move in the greater scheme of things as a living, breathing human being with infinite soul, and how you activate yourself with that positive thinking, and I use the word positive thinking. Sorry, I'm a little tired. It's midnight here. I've been at it all day. I've been editing my new book, so my brain is a little frozen at this stage of the day. So.
Maybe I could take over for you just a little bit.
Jeez.
Yeah. Poor man. Yeah. It's going to be like 2 a.m. by the time this show finishes for you as well.
Yeah, but yeah, this is what we do because we love doing it, right?
If you say so.
there's always some aspects
that you don't overly enjoy, and you wish you had somebody to do them for you. But you know, hey, at the end of the day, yourself is all you have to rely on, and it's kind of like it's not a choice; it's a lack of options. I like to say.
Well, what's also critical here for me and many people that might be listening to it, that I'm sure that many will resonate with it, is. It's the choices we make and the life we choose, and I'm just extremely happy and I guess I feel deeply blessed that I seem to have found what I chose to come and do in this lifetime, and I really wish this on everyone to go out there and do not be fearful of what the consequences are of you deciding of, you know, following your path and your passion in life, because that is what we should be doing. We are ultimately creative souls. We are born into a creation. We are, you know, infinite creative souls that are fractals of the infinite divine. And that's our main purpose in this creation is to create. And this is what I'm beginning to realize very, very strongly as I work on my whole, you know, philosophy of Ubuntu contributionism, a world without money, where people contribute their God-given talents and their acquired skills that they're passionate about towards the greater benefit of all the people in their community. And I just like to really wish it and suggest from my personal experience is, follow your heart, follow your dreams, follow your passions, and as long as you're doing it for not your own egotistic reasons, but for reasons of sharing the joys of what you're doing with those around you in the community, the rewards are insanely beyond our wildest belief.
Well, I think there might be some truth to that, because ultimately, if you're not believing in yourself, obviously you'll never get any rewards. And if you let fear govern you to stop you from doing all these things that you want to do, life's not really going to be worth living, is it? Like this dude approached me after a protest, Michael, and he plays bass or whatever, and I told him that, you know, I sang and so on. I was saying, well, let's get together and have a bit of a jam, you know, a bit of a jam would be good. And I see him randomly a couple of weeks later. He never bothered to contact me, and he tells me that one of his flatmates or some other person says to him, oh, you want to go hang out with him? Oh, my goodness, he'll be on the terror watch list or whatever. So he decided not to contact me, governed completely by frickin' fear.
Yeah. But, it's understandable that those who are not involved in this area of work or research or information are, unfortunately, victims of the fear-mongering propaganda tactics that are very effectively imposed on humanity. And it's spectacular. I've just actually been, you know, I just finished editing my new book today. So I hope that it'll go to layout in the next day or two. But I was dealing with that chapter earlier today, and I was just looking for some additional quotes about manipulating people through fear and how you can control people, and I found this quote by Hermann Goering, you know, one of Hitler's right-hand men who it sounds like something that was concocted by the American government for all the false flag events that they, you know, unleashing on planet Earth at the moment. And this is what Hermann Goering said. I think it was in 1945 during the Nuremberg trials. He said, naturally, the common people don't want war, neither in Russia nor in England, nor for that matter in Germany. That is understood. But after all, it is the leaders of the country who determine the policy, and it is always a simple matter of drag the people along, whether it is a democracy or a fascist dictatorship or a parliament or a communist dictatorship. Voice or no voice, the people can always be brought to the bidding of the leaders. That is easy. All you have to do is tell them they are being attacked and denounce the peacemakers for lack of patriotism and exposing the country to danger. It works the same in any country. Hermann Goering. And boy, is that being implemented effectively, especially in the United States, where, you know, you're not a, you're anti-American, you're unpatriotic if you don't support all the activities against the terrorists. And
well, I think they've forgotten the founding fathers, particularly Thomas Paine, where a patriot's duty is to protect his country from his own government.
Yeah, they very conveniently forget to remind the people of that. But at the same time, as I said earlier in our discussion, how absolutely gratifying it is to have just come back from the States and being at, you know, places like Contact in the Desert and Joshua Tree with some of the world's leaders in research and conspiracy and ufology and whatever it is you want to talk about, banksters and so forth, seeing how the American people are waking up to this so quickly, and they no longer just, you know, sheep that will follow anything the leaders say. And I think the indication of that is in the recent Congress votes to start a war again or invade Syria, and the vote went against Obama, and that was not expected, I guess.
The American people just went, you can't be serious, we're not Goering.
Yeah. Well, good one. I think if that was 10 years ago, it would have been heavily swung in favor of, yeah, let's go get them bastards. You know, look what they're doing to their own people. That's terrible. We got to set them straight. We'll teach them how to live in democracy and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And
it's a great one, considering the, you know, what the government does to its own people. There's a woman in the Senate right now who says that if you get caught texting while driving, I don't want any fines. I want a mandatory prison sentence of 5 days for texting while driving and 6 months for the second offense.
Wow.
This is freaking insane.
It's just, yeah.
They've got to keep those private prison quotas going, don't they?
Yeah, it's incredible. And then the same thing happened in the, was it the House of Lords or whatever the house in England is that also voted and also voted against the invasion of Syria. So what my take out is that in the last few years, the consciousness among the politicians in the USA and in the UK has risen dramatically. And the other thing is that what people need to remember is, you know, we can go off bashing the politicians and so forth, and that's not always the right thing to do, because not all politicians are bad and evil and have ill intent. I think many of them, if not most of them, probably go into politics in the beginning believing that they can make a difference. They go into it with good hearts and intentions, and then as they get into
simply
it, they
the
get
the good apple jumping into the bad barrel.
Yeah, and they just become, they get turned, and then at some stage they realize that they're part of this rotten, you know, gangster club, and sooner or later they say, hold on, I can change my mind. I can vote against this atrocity and these atrocities. And I think that's happening. I think.
I think so too. My favourite speech before leaving Parliament was by a New Zealand politician called Nando Tanchos, who never owned a wristwatch before coming to Parliament, and all of a sudden he had to be at all these meetings at all these times all the frickin' time. So he pulls out a ball peen hammer out of his inside jacket pocket and he smashes it into bits on the desk and says, "I'm out." We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, at thevinnieeastmanshow.com.
Alone against your mad, deadly, worldwide conspiratorial gangster computer god communism with wall-to-wall deadly gangster protection, lifelong sworn conspirators, murder incorporated organized crime, the police and judges, the deadly sneak parroting puppet gangsters using all the gangster deadly Frankenstein controls, these hangman rope sneak deadly gangsters, the judges and the police trick, trap, rob, wreck, butcher, and murder the people to keep them terrorized in gangster Frankenstein earphone radio slavery for the communist gangster government and con artist parroting puppet gangster playboy scum on top. There is no escape from this worse gangster police state using all of the deadly gangster Frankenstein controls.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. We've been having some technical issues in the background there. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate your patience on this particular day of stresses. My very special guest is Michael Tellinger. The website is slavespecies.com. And, you know, when you become aware of who sort of runs the show around here on this planet, Michael, you kind of think to yourself, you know what, our entire species is enslaved. Slavespecies.com.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I called my book Slave Species of God originally. And I just want to also make a small correction. We've changed the my main website is now called michaeltellinger.com. And slavespecies.com actually falls under that, and the information on the book is there. It's just a lot easier for people to remember Michael Tellinger than Slave Species at times. But nevertheless, whichever way you get there, as long as you start thinking about it, and by all means, go and get the book and read it. It'll make you think. If you haven't read information or literature in that area, which I guess most of your listeners probably have already, in any case, but I'm just amazed at how after all these years, it's been nearly 8 years since I released that book, and how people are finding it today and still, you know, emailing me from all over the world and just raving at how it's changing their life and their outlook on life. So clearly I must have done something right there. So I'm really, really happy with that.
Well, I think it is something that we all crave as human beings. It's a very human thing to crave recognition for the things that you do, especially if what you do you feel is very important.
Well, that's exactly why I say and claim that the philosophy of Ubuntu contributionism is such a simple system for everybody to fall into. Because it's based on recognizing people in your community for what it is that they do and giving them the respect that they deserve for what it is that they contribute to their community, whether they're rocket scientists, engineers, shoemakers, glassblowers, farmers, teachers, whatever. Because in a moneyless society, and I guess we need to talk about that because I've just sort of jumped into the deep end here, in a moneyless society that the whole system of contributionism is based on, the things that people do is what gives them joy and pleasure. And it is those things that give them joy and pleasure because they're good at it. And therefore, those around them in their community respect them for it. And there's no better reward than the respect and gratitude from those around you in your community.
That's absolutely true. Have you noticed how a lot of people get sort of, I don't know, detached and despondent from their families themselves in situations like this. You know, you go off, you start doing your own thing, you start exposing scumbaggery, and all of a sudden you think that your family starts to hate you. Because you're not living the dream, you know. You're not going and getting your slave job. You're not getting a slave missus. You're not having several slave kids, having a slave marriage, and just living your happy slave life. You know, they get really upset with you.
Absolutely, and again, remember, this has been going on for thousands of years. This is what I outlined very clearly in my new book, which I believe is probably going to be the sort of the next epic after Slave Species, which clearly outlines that this is not something that happened in the last few decades or the last few hundred years. Something that's been orchestrated and planned and executed meticulously for thousands of years. The legal system we have, the convoluted and deeply disturbing legal system that we have, and the laws that have been written, the volumes and volumes and thousands of legal volumes that are there, not for human benefit, but for protecting the corporate interests of the corporatization of our planet at the detriment of human beings. That's been going on for thousands of years. And all it takes is, once you start getting involved in the legal system against the banks and standing up for your own rights, as you know I've done here in South Africa, and you start going to the high courts and the Supreme Courts, and you stand there and you see how completely biased and one-sided the judges are and the legal system is, and how convoluted and complex it is, you realize that this is something that's been going on for a long, long time.
What is that something? And is it human or inhuman in nature, to your belief?
Well, it's the intentional enslavement of the human race, and the intentional enslavement of humanity on various levels. My latest presentations, I refer to our four levels of enslavement, and that is the physical enslavement, because there's absolute scientific and genetic evidence that we're cloned species, and therefore my book, Slave Species of God, and God being with a small g, as opposed to God with a big G, right? And think about that for a while. So we enslaved physically as a cloned species, waking up from our slave species mentality, now suddenly realizing, oh my God, things are not the way we thought they were. We enslaved emotionally, because now we're confused about it, and it really hurts, and it's a confusing situation, emotional situation for us. We enslaved mentally. We're trying to analyze it and compute it cognitively and logically, but it doesn't make any sense. So that's even more confusing. And finally, and most importantly, we enslaved spiritually on two levels. Spiritually, through the lies and deception of mainstream religions that were created to just propagate the enslavement of our species and us on this planet. But even more importantly, the enslavement spiritually on our soul level, where our souls are actually trapped in this reality through this weird thing called karma and the karmic trap. And that's a huge thing for many people to overcome and to figure out and come to terms with, because many people, especially those that have been studying Eastern philosophy, are under the misconception that karma is a natural order of things, and it is not a natural order of things the way that we experience karma on this planet and in this reality. Karma is only a natural order of things if it is a voluntary karma, where your soul chooses to reincarnate in another body or another being or another entity or a plant or an animal or a rock or whatever the hell your soul chooses to reincarnate into, to experience whatever it wants to experience. That's by choice. But if you are hurled back against your will into another life thousands of times, not realizing or recognizing or remembering your past lives, not having a building up of experiences and knowledge and information through these experiences, that is what is called a karmic trap. So you repeat the stuff over and over again until something happens. And it is that something that I've now reached a stage of understanding it in my own way, and I call this now the moment of enlightenment. And that is when you recognize and realize that this karmic trap is the thing that keeps us in this cycle of enslavement on our soul and spiritual level. And only when you realize this do you reach what I now refer to as a state of enlightenment, and then can you do something about it. Until then, you're going to keep coming back and being confused about why you're here and what the hell you're doing and why is this life so miserable and why am I caught up in this and that and blah, blah, blah. And only when you realize that that you don't have to come back and be part of this karmic trap, that you've reached enlightenment and you can step out of that never-ending cycle, karmic trap cycle. And that's a hugely important moment. It was a big aha moment for me when that penny dropped for me, and I hope it makes sense to some of your listeners.
I've got this different perspective of karma, is that some people say, oh, well, you know, if you're a good person, good thing will happen to you. If you're a bad person, bad things will happen to you. I'm of the direct opposite opinion. I believe that if you do a lot of bad things and cover your tracks real well, heaps of good things happen for you. If you're a real good person and you trust a whole lot of people or whatever, obviously some of those people will be bad, and they'll do heaps of really bad things to you. It's kind of like a discernment and personal responsibility ahead of belief for me. But at the same time, you kind of feel like I do a lot of good things for people, Michael, but I don't think that I could ever really pay back, if I tried, all the people that have done good things for me, right?
Yeah.
And but I think that's because I've got a radio show, you know, I've got like an audience actually people listening at the same time. If I was doing the same thing, going around and helping people day in, day out, everywhere, but nobody was listening or nobody was hearing it, I wouldn't receive anywhere near the amount of support that I'm getting now from, say, listeners. And I was just thinking about this yesterday. If I actually tried to pay back in some way all of the people that had donated or contributed or subscribed or whatever to this radio show, it'd be next to impossible, because I'm absorbing, you know, kind of good energy in the form of money in a lot of ways from lots of really good people all around the world, and it's almost like I feel guilty.
Yeah, and we shouldn't feel guilty about these things, because it's all going to change. But I hear what you say, but I've got to just clarify as to what I mean by this karma and the karmic trap, because this is a big thing, and I really hope this sinks in with some of your listeners, because it's a huge realization. This it took me a lifetime to get to this point, and I hope many people get there a lot sooner. And maybe if I'm not explaining it correctly, I'll hopefully do it at another time when I'm less tired, and or in my next book. But I do so in my presentations. I go into it in great detail. There is an energy grid around the planet. Whether it's still active or not, I don't know. I suspect it's no longer active. And that energy grid seems to have been put there by the
unknown. What seems to be bumping there?
Oh, sorry, that was me playing with my fingers on the table.
It's the energy grid. Boom, 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 boom.
You've got good ears. You've got very good ears across all the way from here to New Zealand, right? What is that, about 12,000 kilometers or whatever it is?
Yeah, my hearing's sharpish.
So this energy grid seems to have been put around planet Earth by the Anunnaki. They might have it might have been supported in later times by other beings, other entities, but I believe that the first beings that actually put this energy grid around planet Earth were the Anunnaki, and there are some very interesting Sumerian texts that refer to this and suggest that they're the ones that created this energy grid as a karmic trap for the souls. So when your soul leaves your body, when you die and your soul leaves your body, and it wants to go on another little adventure or a journey, or as we in South Africa call a jol. If your soul goes on this jol and wants to have all these experiences, before it knows, it gets fried by this this energy grid around our planet. Ashiana Dean actually refers to it in her amazing work. She refers to it as the blank slate technology, or the BST, where a soul gets fired and forgets where it comes from, and then comes back to Earth, you know, enters, reincarnates, and has no idea why it's done so, and what its purpose is, and so forth. And that's just spectacular. The karmic trap thing is an interesting thing, because the Anunnaki are far more active and have a far longer and sinister and devious history in ancient past, but that seems to have been overturned now by their own rise of consciousness, especially the elders among the Anunnaki, and I'm now referring to the sort of supreme beings amongst them called Enki and Enlil. And they seem to have shifted across in their own consciousness and are actively involved in the emancipation and the rise of consciousness among humanity, and breaking down some of those things and the constructs that they created for the original enslavement of the species, or as the Sumerian tablets, or as the Anunnaki call it in the Sumerian tablets, the Lulu Amelu, or the primitive worker. This is just interesting stuff for those that are of this kind of frame of mind at this stage.
I do think so. Look, Sumerians turn up out of the blue kind of thing. All of a sudden they got really advanced lore, mathematics, systems, and everything in place all of a sudden. And where did they get all that knowledge? Where did they get all that ability to run a civilization, like all of a sudden? Oh, wow, have a look at all these tablets and all these aliens and so on and so forth that are all over them and talking about the gods that came from the sky and so on and so forth. Oh, but we won't talk about that, will we? Because, hey, everybody was just created in a single day. We'll be right back after the break at thevinegarshow.com.
On December 16th, 1961, the world turned upside down, then inside out, and I was born screaming in America. It was the tail end of the American dream, just before we lost our innocence irrevocably, when the TV eye brought the horror of our lives into our homes for all to see. I was told when I grew
Welcome
up,
back.
I could be anything I wanted. Fireman, a policeman, a doctor.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is the illustrious and magnanimous and somewhat fabulous Michael Tellinger from MichaelTellinger.com is the website there. He's also the writer of the book Slave Species, I believe, which talks about humanity basically being a bunch of test tube slaves created by the Anunnaki to basically, you know, be they create us in their image so that we can basically do their bidding. That's kind of the gist of the story there. It'd be really nice to bring that feed down at some point. We're having a lot of technical issues today, ladies and gentlemen. I'm very, very sorry about that. It's not my fault. In fact, none of it's my fault. I'm doing the best that I can here. Come on, give me a break, Gary. Give me a break. Is this feed music ever going to come down? Ever? Like, waiting for it? No? Okay. Let's just sit here and wait for like 5-10 minutes while the board op gets his business together and actually brings that feed down, eh? Waiting for it? Waiting for it? Still waiting for it? You got to be freaking kidding me. What the heck is going on here? I'm going to go insane. Yep. Yeah. And finally, we're back. Yeah. It does kind of.
You willed it into submission. You did that, you know. You willed it into submission.
No, I just knew that it was going to run out of steam sooner or later before I did, because I've got coffee and it doesn't.
Yeah.
But you'll probably run out of steam before I do, mate. What's it now? It's now nearly 1 o'clock in the morning, local time. You poor dear. You're like a full 12-hour difference.
Yeah, yeah. That's fun. It's always fun doing these chats, having Skype chats with people that are 12 hours away. It causes serious problems. I know when I talk to my friends in Hawaii, they're exactly 12 hours, right on the opposite side of the planet. If you put a line through the Earth, it'll come out from South Africa to Hawaii. It's quite interesting. And when I talk to my friend William Brown in Hawaii, who now works with Nassim Haramein at the Resonance Project Research Institute, it's always a struggle to try and find the right time. It's either late in the evening or early in the morning for either one of us.
It's nasty, eh? And that's kind of like a real frustrating thing, because I was trying to organize, I think, you know, John Perkins, the economic hitman?
Yeah.
His organizer, Pam there, she wanted me to call her, sort of thing, but it's like the opposite sides of the earth. And like, by the time I'm finished my show and everything, I'm just so freaking knackered. And then, everybody else in the States is like verge off to bed. And a lot of times, and it's just like,
yeah,
you know, it's almost like you kind of have to choose to lose sleep in order to have the conversations with the people on the other side of the world. Like, our technology hasn't gotten that advanced yet.
Yeah. Well, this is, as I said, we choose to do this, and we have to, you know, pay the price. And the emphasis on pay, which we need to talk about, right? And price, and why things have a price on them, and why we all have to pay from the moment we are born on a planet that we are born on free. When we are born, we have not agreed to anything other than just being born. And before we know, all these things are imposed on us, all these rules, regulations, and if we don't abide by them, we get into trouble and we get locked up. How is that possible? We didn't agree to any of that when we were born. So what's going on?
I think actually our parents did, because there's a birth certificate thingy. And that's why they call it being birthed, just like a ship in the harbor. And they got nice little stock market wacky do's thing going on there. Apparently there's some kind of a shipping number on your birth certificate, and you can look it up on the New York Stock Exchange because they own all of us.
Yeah. And so that's why I brought it up. So, you know, your parents chose to give you away, but you didn't choose. You didn't agree to that. So it's a one-sided contract. So you should be able to cancel that at any stage and say, sorry, I'm not interested in that.
Well, funny you should mention that, because that was the guest yesterday. Kerry Campbell from New Zealand. She cancelled her contract with the slave masters and made a withdrawal of $15 million.
Oh, I'd like to know more about that, because
they arrested her, tried to dislocate her arm with three men hanging off of one of it, and then that didn't work, so they tried to break her wrist, and then that didn't work, so they tried to break her fingers, and then that didn't work, so they left her alone. They actually closed down the police station and kidnapped her from court. Like she goes to court to defend herself, you know, and the police kidnap her from court and then close down the police station so nobody's allowed in or out, and they hold their own private court in the police station and then start moving her around the whole country for a couple of days' time. No message to her parents or anything like that. She got eight kids, and she had no idea what was going on. These people, if you try to free yourself, you know, don't operate under any illusions that being free means free from trauma and scumbaggery attacks.
That's really interesting information. I would like to get more information on that, Vinny, if you can.
I'll send you the link to the interview. We did it yesterday.
That'll be awesome. I need to share that with the people here in South Africa, because, you know, you're aware of the fact that the Ubuntu Party, the Ubuntu movement, is actually a political party in South Africa. And we're going to be running in the elections next year. So I'm going to be running for president, believe it or not.
No kidding. You take over from Mandela's mantle.
Our friend Jacob Zuma, who's just built himself a 200 million rand home.
I was going to say that. I've actually talked to a lot of South Africans, and I say that South Africa was a lot less corrupt when it was under a completely racist apartheid regime.
Oh, that is probably true. Very interesting information. This is in my new book. I deal with this stuff. It's a very sensitive subject, you know, just like when you start talking about the Holocaust and about some of these things that have been made sacrosanct. You can't talk about it. This is how it is. If you talk about it, you go to jail. Or if you deny it, you go to jail and stuff like that. And the whole thing of apartheid in South Africa has become a bit of that, you know. But at the same time, what has become clear to me now is that the sort of the architect of apartheid, Hendrik Verwoerd, who was the prime minister in South Africa, who introduced apartheid, and he actually was assassinated in 1966. And he wasn't assassinated because of apartheid. He was assassinated because he either did or was about to stop the South African Reserve Bank from printing the money, just like JFK and Lincoln. And guess what happened to those two? And the same thing happened to Hendrik Verwoerd. At the time that this happened, the South Africa was reported to be the most prosperous country in the world, with exports of everything imaginable, and no debt, and a very high standard of life. Apartheid was being practiced, but there was virtually no unemployment. And these are sensitive subjects to talk about. But Hendrik Verwoerd was assassinated not because of his stance on separate development that later became known as apartheid, the Afrikaans word for separate development. And they used his philosophy of apartheid to hide the whole thing. But he was killed by the banksters, and because of what he did or was planning to do. And the South African Reserve Bank continued to print the money, which is obviously owned by the Rothschilds. So you will see the same thing repeats itself all over the world.
Well, it would occur to me that if the same patterns are repeating themselves all over the world, then the same powers must be in control of the entire planet.
Absolutely. And so follow the money and you'll see who the powers are. What's interesting, though, is that the bankers that we know, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers and so forth, those are the obvious names, but there's a higher power behind them that created this whole thing, that gave them the knowledge and the information how to do this. Because what becomes evident when you start looking at not only the convoluted system, the way that it's written, like the whole maritime law legal system that you mentioned earlier, the maritime legal system that that is imposed here on planet Earth, it seems to be something that is used throughout the universe by rogue beings that invade planets and just impose the same system, the same legal system of control, monetary system of control on the beings of that planet, and that's how they keep them enslaved. It's a phenomenally brilliant scheme if you think about it. But sooner or later, like what's happening to us here, people wake up and they rise in consciousness and they realize that they're being enslaved, and then things change. However, imagine you're on a different planet and the beings that have been enslaved do not have the capacity to rise in consciousness, if their DNA has been manipulated in a way that does not allow for a rise in consciousness, that then becomes a huge problem. Now you got a perpetual enslavement scenario and a perpetual enslavement situation of the cloned species. Now that is what I believe is then what Star Trek called a breach of the prime directive, where you're interfering with the beings on a planet and you're interfering with their own development.
Indeed, indeed. And we'll be right back after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Tallinger from michaeltallinger.com is my guest. Welcome back. Well, can I see shares, my feet are... I've heard that music come down sometimes, though. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. I would really encourage people to listen in live at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The times that we're broadcasting are 3 till 5 p.m. Pacific time, 5 till 7 Central, 6 till 8 Eastern, and 11 p.m. till 1 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Which reminds me, Michael, it's currently just hit like 1 o'clock in the morning for you. So this means I now know the time zone for South Africa.
Yeah, we're one hour ahead of GMT.
Yeah, about midnight till 2 a.m. So now you've got daylight savings coming up soon as well too, don't you?
No, we don't have daylight savings here.
You don't have daylight savings in South Africa, mate?
No.
Oh, mate.
It just keeps churning around. It just keeps going and going.
Well, that'll be interesting to find out, because whenever we do daylight savings here in New Zealand, the showtime actually goes back an hour for the local listeners. So, you know, starting on September the 31st, I think I'm taking next week off because I'm just freaking knackered. And I've got a lot of really important videos to do for the Fluoride Action Network. They're not paying me, but they're in a bind, basically, because there's just nobody else. And I've kind of put my foot forward, and I'm going to try and get their videos and all of their presentations and think kind of thing, because they got fluoride out of the water in Hamilton. It's like our third largest city, Michael, and just like Dr. Paul Connett, from the Fluoride Action Network predicted, a huge quantity of propaganda started spewing forth, a huge amount of abuse and threats and so on and so forth at the councillors who made the decision, and now they're going to do a referendum. So instead of a couple of informed doctors doing presentations and convincing a couple of councillors to get a frickin' toxic poison scum out of the water, you now have to convince the entire dumbed-down public on an activist budget against the entire machine of the New Zealand dental industry funding the opposition, who are full of propagandistic, frickin' lying scum.
Well,
that's why I have to really put my foot forward and try and help out the Fluoride Action Network, because they're outmatched, they're outgunned, and any weapon that I can lend them so that they can fight this war, I'll gladly sacrifice whatever time that I got.
Yeah, you're giving them your radio time, and... I think it's really courageous of you to do that, to suggest that they should put fluoride back in the water, because, you know, we need fluoride for our healthy teeth, right? Sorry, it's early in the morning here, you know, the humor is fading a little bit.
Okay, well, maybe we need to get a little bit dirtier. All right. I found that very interesting. If you notice, that when it's real, real late at night, that's when the dirty jokes come out, kind of thing. But unfortunately, this is allegedly a child-friendly show.
Yeah, it is. While you're talking about fluoride and all the good stuff, on my recent trip in the United States, I found really interesting and exciting new product that I found you get in the hotels and places that you go to. You know, in America, you hardly ever get milk anymore. You get what they call half and half, or what we call half and half. I'm not sure what half and half what, but and then there's the other alternative, which is called the non-dairy creamer, and I found that really interesting. And
in that creamer?
Exactly. I suspect that the non-dairy cream has got all the good stuff in it, like fluoride, aspartame, you name it, with a little bit of milk flavorant, and some sort of preservative in it, sodium benzoate, I guess, as a preservative or something, and so all the good stuff in it, and then they just fill it up with a little bit of water. They shake it up so it looks cloudy, like a little bit of milky color, and it's called non-dairy creamer. And it's people put into their coffee. And just before you use non-dairy creamer, first look at the ingredients just to make sure that it does not have these ingredients, these lovely things that we've just mentioned here.
I do think that there's those general rules that you need to follow. If you can't pronounce it, don't freaking eat it. Yeah. If you have no idea what that... even if you can pronounce it, if you don't know what it actually means, don't freaking eat it. And if it's not physically possible to make it at your kitchen and home, it's probably some kind of soft-kill bioweapon.
Yeah, well, when we were in Dallas now, I was fortunate enough to do a combined presentation in Dallas with Jim Mars, and Jim told me that he just recently found in one of the stores there, Nestle put out a new product, which is water. You know, the stuff that we should get in our taps, that we should be able to drink out of the tap in our homes. And now, obviously, it's got to the stage already that they've been planning this for a long time. And finally, they got us where they wanted us for a long time, where we have to go and buy drinking water, right? Jim says he saw baby water, Nestle putting out baby water with fluoride. So,
I think it's like mother's milk has, I don't know, at one part per million of fluoride, they tested mother's milk and it's like 1/250th of that, right?
Yeah.
So putting nursery water in, okay, let's think about this. What's the level of fluoride toxicity? I think it's remarkably low, to the point where a couple of milliliters, which is like I don't know, one part per million. Let's say you drink 10 liters of water, you'll get a milliliter of fluoride. So if you drink 20, 30, 40, 50 liters of water over a period of a month or something like that, you've actually sucked down almost a lethal dose of fluoride, right? And because it's just a slow kill, that's what it does, man. It absorbs, it attaches itself to calcium. So you find that it'll attach itself to the teeth. That's the first sign of fluoride poisoning there, you know, white mottling, chalky teeth kind of thing. Sometimes starts eating away at the enamel and the pitting on it. And weak, brittle bones, it sucks up all the calcium, which gives your bones strength and causes things like arthritis, hip fractures, and a number of other really nasty bone-related diseases. I mean, bone fluorosis, if you've ever seen the pictures of the people in India who have naturally high levels of fluoride in the water, it's horrific. Like, these people are severely, severely disabled, and... You just think about this. How many health problems in the Western world, and let's face it, facts here, the whole Western world is sick. I'd probably estimate no more than 5% of people are perfectly healthy. Everybody else is sick to some degree or is about to get really, really sick.
Humanity is under full-blown onslaught. We're under attack. We're under attack from the skies, from the water, from the food, from the frequencies. And during the break, I said I want to talk about the frequencies because that's just ridiculous. You know, what the way people are behaving sometimes on a daily basis is clearly an indication of mind control frequencies that are getting to a large population of the world, percentage of the population of the world. Because people are doing things that they, under normal conditions, just would not do. It's inhumane. It's strange. It is not part of human nature to do certain things, you know. And yet, people are doing weirder and weirder things. So the mind control frequencies are quite severe. And I had a call from my good friend in South Africa called Paul Gravenstein, who develops these energy generating devices that actually run on zero point energy. They've been sitting, some of the devices that he's developed have been sitting in the farmlands for more than 5 years already, just running on just energy from the air and generating energy while they radiate these energies, these frequencies that kill the pathogens on the farmers' crops, whether it's viruses or bacteria or fungus or locusts or worms or whatever that's destroying the crops. he develops these devices that just sit in the field and resonate at these frequencies that destroy these pathogens.
But they don't destroy the plants or the farms?
They don't destroy. No, not at all. It's very specific. It's Rife. It's very, very similar to Rife technology, but I think it's actually gone beyond Rife, what he's doing. At the same time, they actually...
I don't know what Rife technology is. I thought Rife was when you're going through a hard time. Or is that true?
Yeah. what he's done as well is that his devices also actually activate the soil and energize the soil so that it produces higher crops and you don't need fertilizer. And the bugs and the insects don't eat the crops and so forth. So he's a master of this technology. The reason I'm saying this just to lay the ground to explain how brilliant this man is. And I know also he also works on human beings. He treats all kinds of diseases, from cancers to anything you can imagine, by identifying the frequency of the pathogen and then destroying the pathogen with that specific frequency. He doesn't like to call it frequency anymore. He says it's gone beyond frequency, so let's call it an energy field that he projects, creates some sort of resonance. I know this because he's actually cured two of my friends that had real problems. One of my friends who had a problem that, once a week he'd end up in ICU and hospital. He would just faint from pain in his stomach. And within one treatment, he was healed. And in 3 years now, he's not had a relapse. And the other friend that I have, his dogs had huge problems, and he treated the dogs just with his frequencies and with his energies. Now, Paul called me out of the blue and said he's absolutely devastated because he's picked up these frequencies. Oh, by the way, Monsanto has now started blocking his devices, blocking the frequencies and the energies they produce in the fields, in the farmlands that he's got them working in. So they're blocking his frequencies and putting out disinformation to the farmers saying, don't use Paul Cravenstein, don't use him, he'll kill you and your family, he'll give you cancer, and all this kind of disinformation that they actually tell.
So living in the straight, Monsanto, a company that kills people and gives them cancer, starts coming into them and saying, look, there's this dude, he's very scary, he's going to kill you and give you cancer.
Yeah, it's isn't it
what are you going to try to do, bro? You're trying to protect us from people like you.
Yeah, it's brilliant. But what's important, what I've just told you, is that They have got their own devices that are sending out energies that are blocking his energies, which tells us they know what he's doing and they have the same technology, or they have access to the same technology.
Have you ever seen the movie The Big Hit? It's a great film, very funny, and they've got this thing that traces traces people who call your phones and stuff like that. It's called a Tracebuster. And he says, well, if you're going to make the call on a Tracebuster, how do you know they don't have a Tracebuster too? And he goes, yeah, but I got this. It's a Tracebuster. And then they call them up in order to try and get the money off of them. And they're setting up their machines on the other side, just going, okay, I got your Tracebuster. I got your Tracebuster. And I got your Tracebuster. All right. So we're just thinking that's precisely what's going on here, isn't it? You've got you've got your bug and pathogen buster, and now the Monsanto's got the pathogen bug buster, and so now you've got to create your bug and pathogen buster.
So what is happening in this whole thing is that the pathogens and the viruses and the bacteria are going, what the hell's going on? These confusing frequencies, man. Am I supposed to die? Am I supposed to thrive? I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
They would explode in a cloud of green dust.
Oh, my God, it's putting me from one way to the other.
But look, the thing that I'm trying to tell you is that Paul has got an amazing ability to actually measure and detect energy fields and frequencies and resonances in ways that other people do not have the capacity or the technology to do so. So he can measure, for example, he can actually trace what star system the beings come from that built various ancient sites on planet Earth. They actually traces the energy field back to the star system that they came from. That's how acute his measurements are and sensitive they are. And much more. There's a lot more science to what I'm talking about. Just to take you through a little bit of the science behind some of this technology is, when he first started putting the stuff in the fields, he actually built in plugs. He put plugs into his devices, like electrical plugs. Otherwise, the farmers would think that, you know, it didn't work. And then he would say, well, there's a plug, and I come and, you know, I charge it every now and then just so it carries on working. Because if he just puts a device into the field and it doesn't have any plug in it, or how do you charge it, nobody would believe that it works. So it's that kind of idiotic deception that he had to employ to, you know, get past the non-believers of the technology. And then he realized that when he started making these machines, they would actually stop after about a week of putting them in the field. They would stop, and because they would they actually generate energy. They generate energy, and the energy gets stuck in and saturates the system, saturates the machine, and then it just sort of fuses or short circuits the machine, whatever the right word is. There are no real moving parts in there. But and then he realized that it is a closed system. And this is really interesting, because the more you research this area of alternative knowledge and information, the more you realize that all systems must be open. And yeah, the moment he opened it up and he didn't, you know, keep the energy inside the system, and he fed it out and he fed it into the ground, it worked a lot longer.
All right, then, well, Michael, we're coming to break now. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to continue this explanation on the other side, Michael. It's rather fascinating. MichaelTallinger.com is the website, ladies and gentlemen. Back in a moment.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from Rothschild Mansion, right in the nice hills of Sicily, where we grow beautiful coca plants and process it and then bribe European Union politicians with it in order to enforce the kind of banking policy that we want across the EU. That's what I'm talking about. I'm of a special guest. It's Michael Tallinger. And he's also feeling very tired and a little bit hoarse, just like me. Welcome back.
That was pretty good, Vinny. That was pretty good.
Thank you. Thank you. I've been working on it for quite some time, you know. I've been smoking 17 cigarettes an hour.
Yeah. A few more cigars and it'll stick.
Apparently, when you get the throat cancer, that's when it really kicks in awesomely, and you don't even have to try or work at it anymore.
Yeah.
A little laryngitis, you know.
Right, yeah. Oh, well done. All right, so should we get back to these frequencies?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
All right. We were talking before the break about these devices that cure the farmlands of pests and viruses and all kinds of things that destroy the crops. And Monsanto is blocking my friend Paul Cravenstein's devices and his frequencies. And he realized that he had to open the system. There's a bit of the science behind it. And when he opened the system and he actually offloaded the energy that's created in the process into the ground, the system started to work great. And then he realized, even after a while, the ground around the area got saturated with the energy that he was offloading. So remember, he's now creating energy out of thin air, out of the ether, treating the lands, and then offloading energy into the ground. And then the ground got saturated. Then he tried to offload the energy into water. That worked better. And even then, the barrels of water got saturated as well. And then he started offloading it into the air. And now it runs perfectly and smoothly without any hiccups. So he's actually generating energy out of thin air and then offloading it. So my last discussion with Paul was a few months ago, and I asked him, do you think that you'll be able to convert the energy that you're offloading and dumping into the air into a usable form of energy that could, you know, run a light or something? And his answer was, yes, I think I can. Let me work on that. So it just shows you how people work in these various fields. And he's so caught up in the treating of farmers' lands and crops that he hasn't even contemplated or thought about utilizing the excess energy for useful purposes. And these are the interesting times that we're at right now, that all these kind of technologies and devices are going to start becoming very, very active and prominent in our lives.
How exactly can people get away with this? I mean, well, when I say get away with this, if Monsanto comes in and tries to block him, what's to stop them from coming in and blocking out anyone else that's trying to do it?
Well, that's not his intention. He's not really worried about blocking anyone else. I don't think anyone else is doing anything like him, especially not in South Africa.
Oh, I know, I know. I was just saying, you know, the point of this is, and this is an interesting point of discussion as well, is that whenever you're trying to do something right by humanity, some people mistake that because they're doing the right thing that they'll get support, or people won't try to sabotage or destroy them. And my experience has always been the direct opposite. The first thing you need to look at when you're doing something right by humanity is, who's going to sabotage me? Why are they going to do it? And what kind of weapons are they going to employ in order to accomplish this goal?
Absolutely. Remember that we're dealing with a draconian control group that has taken this planet under absolute control on all levels, and they will do everything and anything to make life as difficult and as miserable for humanity, because that's how they keep humanity under control. And this has become very obvious, and this is why we're seeing protests all over the world, the rise of consciousness, people waking up and starting to protest and starting to stand up and realizing that we've been had, we've been lied to, and the time has come to change that. And the bottom line here, Vinny, is it always comes back to the money. It always comes back to the money and the control and the use of money as a tool of control. Remember, it's not about the money. It's not how much money you have, and it's not about banks charging too much interest or this and that. That's got nothing to do with it. It's got to do with money being used as a tool of control, because the banking families, these elite families that control the money and on the entire planet, they don't worry about how much money they have. They worry about using the money as a tool of control. So the simplest and the most obvious way to block and circumvent their control over humanity is to stop using their money. The moment you stop using their money, they lose control over humanity. It is as simple as that. And that is really what I deal with in my new book, which I call Ubuntu Contributionism, A Blueprint for Human Prosperity. And take people on a journey of discovery and showing people how beautiful and simple it is to remove ourselves from a money-driven society, the capitalistic principles that have poisoned our minds and our lives and our psyche, and move away from using money totally in any form whatsoever, or any form of exchange or barter or trade, and moving into a society where people contribute towards their community with their God-given talents or skills that benefit not only themselves, but the entire community as a whole. And it's just such a spectacular transition, because what you do when you start thinking about this is you realize the absolute potential we have as human beings to create abundance beyond our wildest belief. The moment we employ or apply this philosophy, the abundance on every level, whether it's from food, water, to housing, to science, technology, whatever area of life you want to talk about, the abundance just goes berserk. It goes crazy, because suddenly people aren't chasing money anymore. They're actually being productive and creating
scarcity creates fear, and fear creates paralysis, and paralysis creates freaking death.
Yeah, that's what the whole money system is all about. And I just realized recently, I think yesterday or the day before, my good friend Scott Kundle here in Johannesburg called me up, and he said he's just had a realization that the whole money system is also based on sort of, you know, black hole vortex technology, the positive and negative, the opposites, positive and negative kind of science that has been imprinted in our minds, because the entire banking system works with debits and credits, the opposites of each other. And so that is how the entire banking system is constructed on some of the fundamental principles of what we would call physics, which is not really which is not really the laws of nature. It's just a very narrow understanding of how the laws of nature function, and using that against humanity to keep enslaving us. So it's fascinating to see how everything revolves around how the money system is used to enslave humanity. It's spectacular. But I also just realized that we spoke earlier about the maritime law and the legal system, or admiralty law and maritime law, that seems to be constructed around, you know, ships that navigate the sea and the oceans. And I mentioned that I seem to think that legal system goes back to the Anunnaki and many other beings who might be malicious beings that, you know, take over planets, like rogue beings that take over planets and enslave
Can I offer something here? The birth certificate, you know, apparently they say it's tradable on the stock market, right? And let's say the Anunnaki created us as their slave species, right? Wouldn't that be, that would make us livestock, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And now what we've got is our stock traded live on the stock market. I think that's an interesting little connection there.
Oh, absolutely. But what I'm thinking about, and that's very important, what you just said there is critical. What I'm thinking is that the whole maritime admiralty law is actually about navigating the oceans of space, and not just the oceans of planet Earth. So the whole thing about maritime law and navigation is actually probably has much bigger implications and realization that we have to deal with. What I want to come back to as well, sorry, I know I'm jumping around a little bit, but it is late and my brain is free. I'm doing the best to stay with you and
it is 1:30. It is 1:33 in the morning, so
yeah,
you can be forgiven.
Exactly. So what I wanted to also just tell you is that my friend Paul Cravenstein, with this amazing technology of being able to cure disease with his frequencies and the farmers' crops and lands, has also been able to detect who were the builders, or what star system the builders of some of these ancient sites on Earth came from. And he shared some of that with me. The other important thing is he measured the energy fields in the Great Zimbabwe, which he told me is encoded with Enki energy. Enki is a Sumerian entity, Enki, the creator of the human race, who incidentally in African mythology or African wisdom is known as Enki, the creator of the human race.
Isn't it symbol like a very similar to a crucifix, except instead of the top of the crucifix just being a piece of wood, it's like got a circle? So sort of like arms, legs together, and sort of like a head. That's sort of the symbol of the Enki, isn't it?
Well, I guess that could be one of them. But the Caduceus is often associated with Enki and the creation of the human race, and that's where the Caduceus comes from.
The Caduceus aren't relatives of the Kardashians, are they?
Yeah, exactly. The Kardashians they hold the patent on the Caduceus. No, please don't even joke about that. So where was I going with this? I was going in this direction with it. So Paul Cravenstein called me out of the blue, and he said he's really disturbed because he's picked up frequencies that are very, very severe, severe mind control frequencies, frequencies that are filled with disease-creating frequencies, all kinds of disease you can imagine, frequencies that create violent behavior, suicidal behavior, depression. I mean, you name it, he's picked up these frequencies, and he told me that he's traced them back to where they come from. And what was disturbing is that he's traced them to some of the major universities in the source of these frequencies in the United States, the University of the United States, the UK, some in Scandinavia, some in Australia, and also two major cities in the USA, and the two being Denver and the other one being Salt Lake City. Now, Paul knows nothing about this stuff that we're talking about here, the conspiracy stuff. He is just a basic farmer who's managed to develop the system. He woke up one morning, he had a dream about the stuff, pretty much like many of the great inventors claim that their inventions came to them in a dream. That's exactly what happened to him. About, 16, 17 years ago, he had a dream. He woke up, he'd draw the pictures that he dreamt, and he built the device, and it worked. and the fact that he doesn't know conspiracy theories and the deeper end of the conspiracy pool, the fact that he mentioned that he's traced the frequencies to Denver and to Salt Lake City clearly tells us that he knows exactly what he's talking about, and he can truly measure these frequencies.
What has he discovered? I mean, in terms of benefits to health, crops, and things of that nature, what has he discovered from the use of these frequencies? Is there a practical benefit that is
absolutely
measurable?
He's cured diseases. He's cured...
Such as? I hear cancer. Cancer's something that responds to frequency quite significantly.
Absolutely. He's had great success with cancers. Obviously, he's got to catch it in an early stage. He said that he hasn't had success with cancers in an advanced stage, but he's had success with cancers at an early stage. That's what I recall him saying. I do know that he had a very great success with my friend Garth, who lives in Port Elizabeth. Garth, as I mentioned earlier, used to have a relapse once a week and just pass out from the pain in his stomach. And after, several years of going to specialists and just charging him thousands and thousands of dollars with no effect, no benefits whatsoever, just taking the money off him and giving him nothing in return, it took one phone call from me to Paul Cravenstein and one photograph on my cell phone that I sent to Paul, and he developed he's got the ability to, just from a photograph, to determine the frequency of the organism or the energy field that comes out of your body that says what is wrong with you. Then he creates the device and he puts it into the ether and it sends it and you pick it up and it cures you. So you don't even have to take any pills or anything. He just creates the frequency from his garage or wherever he makes it, and you'll pick it up wherever you are and it'll cure you. And he did exactly the same for my friend with these very specialized pedigree dogs. The one dog has got a really bad rash, and he spent thousands of best vets and treatments. Nothing. Mm.
Final segment coming up. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Michael Tellinger on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. MichaelTellinger.com is the website. It's almost over, Michael. I really appreciate you being up so late at night, being here with us. I know it's tough doing this, and I just want you to know that I'm really honored that you actually can be bothered. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
The flight to New Zealand by plane from New York City, it takes 22
hours. Welcome back.
So from the Twin Cities, 19. I mean, I fly
all the time. Let's bring old Lewis back down. Okay, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the final segment. Michael Tellinger stayed awake for the whole interview, and, almost. We'll see if he falls asleep in the next 10 minutes. Because I was just thinking, I haven't been helping much, have I? I've been kind of getting you off base by interjecting with incredibly lame, bad-taste jokes.
I guess you got your own reasons for doing that, right? You didn't sleep last night, too, so... What time is it where you are?
It's like 11:44 in the morning.
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, you'll have to draw the curtains to go to bed after this.
Yeah, it's almost lunchtime, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I probably won't be able to anyway. I'm gonna go out. One of the listeners has a hairdressing studio, and he offered to cut my hair, and it's kind of like a big shaggy dog of a mop at the moment. I'm gonna get my car warranted and registered. I need some new freaking shoes. I gotta just doing normal stuff is just a pain in the ass right now, especially when you're tired.
You mentioned car registered. Have you heard of Republic of Good Hope?
No.
Republic of Good Hope is set up by my friend Brandon in Cape Town, and it's an international society of like-minded people, and it is a sovereign entity. It is outside the jurisdiction of the Republic of South Africa, and there are, if you go online, I will send you an invitation, and then once you're a member, use my invitation number. You can then invite other people on your show. In South Africa, when you join the Republic of Good Hope, anywhere in the world, you then get an ID number, you get a driver's license, you get a car, you put in your car, your name, make of your car, and you get a car license certificate for your car from the Republic of Good Hope that you can then use, and you print out the number plates based on the number plates that are issued to you by the computer. So you can then take your car off the jurisdiction of the country that you live in, because now it is in a different independent jurisdiction. There are about 150 cars in South Africa already driving on the Republic of Good Hope number plates, driver's licenses. When you get stopped to give your ID, you give them your driver's license, the Republic of Good Hope driver's license. And it's just amazing how it's growing, and people are starting to understand that it's your right, you know, to do so. And
there's only really three rights and a prosecuting sergeant in the New Zealand police who's 15 years experience in that position told me this. You only got three rights: put up, shut up, or pay up. Everything else you kind of have to suffer for.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of people do these kinds of things that you're talking about. None of them wind up any freer. They just wind up getting harassed by the cops a lot more, and just don't have to pay the fines that they have them. But they still get hassled. And
I haven't heard any negative feedback from the system. I know that they're in the process of issuing passports now as well. And the plan is to actually get the Republic of Good Hope ratified and recognized as an entity or a jurisdiction at the United Nations. So that'll be an interesting scenario if that happens.
Yeah, it'll be like it'll be like that scene in Lethal Weapon 2. You can't do this. Diplomatic immunity.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be awesome to have diplomatic immunity. Yeah. Did you know that if you've got diplomatic immunity, your bags don't have to be checked when you go into countries like on a plane and stuff like that? You could literally carry in a duffel bag of cocaine and just go diplomatic security. Yeah. It just falls right through.
That's the other interesting thing, that everyone in the Republic of Good Hope is registered as a diplomat of the jurisdiction, or the whatever you want to call it. So the passport would say, now, diplomat of the Republic of Good Hope. So you would then have diplomatic immunity immediately as well. Brendan is a smart boy. He set it up really well. So, check it out. The website isn't great, but the stuff that happens there is great.
Yeah.
And apparently, I recommend people to start thinking about it.
Yeah, yeah, and this will be the future of it. I mean, me personally, I'm trying to get out the word for people like that, or people who actually want to kind of do the work involved, and because you need to know a lot of information. You actually need to do a lot of your homework before and during accomplishments like this. And,
I'm in
the unfortunate position where I've got a hell of a lot of work covering so many different issues that basically I can't take care of myself because I'm trying to take care of everybody else. I think that's a fair trade up, you know.
Yeah, well, you're doing a good job, Vinny. So, you know, pat yourself on the back. I'm sure that, you know, hundreds of thousands of your listeners are patting you on the back too for what you're doing.
They generally do.
So, I think I want to talk briefly before we come to an end here about the Breakthrough Energy Movement conference that I'll be going to in Boulder, Colorado. It's between the 10th and the 12th of October in just more than 2 weeks. And it's spectacular. Foster Gamble is going to be there. Now I've got a blank mind. Foster's name comes up because it's easy to remember. But there'll be so many amazing people there presenting all kinds of presentations on free energy devices, alternative energy devices, and so forth, new information. So if you are anywhere near Boulder, Colorado, come and participate in this conference. Come check it out. And I'll be doing my presentation on the free energy devices that are the stone circles in South Africa and all the scientific research and the information that I've put together from the stone circles that, incidentally, if you don't know this yet, are giving us huge amounts of free energy every second of every day. We don't have to find free energy. We have it here in South Africa, screaming at us. More than 10 million stone circles that each one is giving us free energy. All we have to do is figure out how to use it.
Wow. I always thought the way to make a stone circle was to pass a joint around it.
Yeah.
Hey, and speaking of which, I need to give a plug for myself as well. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a listener supported broadcast 100%. Okay, like literally, I haven't had no advertisers, sponsors, or anything like that. If you do want to advertise or sponsor the show or something of that nature, you can do what my good friend Angela Foreman from the Gourmet Soap Kitchen has been doing, and just sending me these lovely soaps and moisturizers and all of this kind of stuff. The missus loves them, and I really like them too because I kind of reek. I'm rather large, and you need really strong soap for a man like me. And so if you are keen on sending me some products or something like that in exchange for a little bit of on-air promo and what have you, just email me through the website, vinnyeastwoodshow.com/contact.html. We'd be very keen on that. But the vast majority of the time, it's contributions from the listeners. I want 500 people to donate on a regular basis, $5 a month, with that set, easy, constantly coming in income. I will not have to worry about, you know, where my next meal is coming from. Won't have to worry about my rent being paid. Won't have to worry about the internet and so on and so forth. There'll only be one thing I can worry about. Where can I spend this time and effort helping people who desperately need it? Going down to different parts of the countries and filming conferences that nobody else is going to film. And even if they do film, they never put it up on the web. I can't have that in my country, so I'll go down and I'll film it and I'll put it on the web myself. All right? This is kind of what I do. If you want to have an alternative media that is well-financed, working every single day to expose scumbaggery in this country and running an international radio show that brings on people like Michael, who, you know, by the way, Michael, you're really quite a fabulous man. And thank you so much for donating some of your time here, I must say. If you appreciate that service that I am offering, I mean, I'm not... Nobody pays me to do this. People donate. They give. I give out what I can to do for people what they cannot do for themselves in a lot of cases, especially with the activists here in New Zealand who aren't exactly tech savvy. I give them the coverage that they deserve because they're sacrificing a lot of their life to serve humanity and expose scumbaggery. And for frack's sake, somebody needs to support them. Nobody else seems to be doing it, so I'll do it. And if you can't do it, then frickin' support me, and I will make sure that it gets done in your stead. Go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. There is a bank account number there for Kiwi Bank if you're in New Zealand and you want to start a regular automatic payment. Or if you're overseas, there is a PayPal option there. with a number of different donation options as well. If you don't want to donate regularly, you can just do a little once off. And I really appreciate all of this because I'm managing to help a lot of people. That's what I figured out. And when you're helping a lot of people, there's an inherent responsibility to keep doing it and do it even better every single day. That's all I got to say about that. Now, Michael, we've only got
that was great. That was great, Vinny.
Yeah.
We've only got how much time have we got left?
We've got less than a minute. MichaelTellinger.com, MichaelTellinger.com, and MichaelTellinger.com is the website, ladies and gentlemen. Check out his work. It'll blow your freaking mind.
But also, Vinny, you and I must talk because I'm planning to come down under to Australia and New Zealand and do some presentations of my work there. So let's try and put something together for New Zealand.
Yeah, that'd be a choice, man. That'd be a choice. I would love to have the extra time and effort and resources and so on and so forth to run events and hire out venues. That's another reason why I want that 500 donations a month of $5 a piece for everybody. So please, again, go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. I'll be able to hire out venues and things like that for people like Michael when he visits. And Stuart Swerdlow is coming to Australia as well. We don't have the money to hire out a venue for New Zealand. Otherwise, he would have come here too. You know, this is the kind of thing. You know, you pay it forward and I'll make sure that it gets invested back into the activist community, at least around here and the international community as well through YouTube and the internet. So thank you very much, Michael. Tellinger.com is the website, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll see you again sometime, folks.